One day, Brian, one of the managers, came charging through the restaurant on a mission. Most of my coworkers disliked Brian. He was a kind of super manager, always by the book, eager to flaunt his power, stiff and official in his brown polyester uniform. I thought he was handsome. Auburn hair, fair skin, and a light smattering of freckles, just enough to make him look slightly boyish in contrast to his tall, muscular frame. I'd joke with him, saluting every time he gave an order. Sometimes I could make him laugh. "Are you busy?" Brian demanded. I said, looking around the empty gift shop. "Come with me," he said. "We need a Chucky." I had managed to avoid managers and had developed a spidey sense whenever a manager needed a Chucky. I'd be in the back room blowing up birthday balloons or in the dining room preparing tables for birthday parties. I was good at making myself look busy. I didn't want to be the center of attention. I didn't want to perform. I didn't want to dress up as a stupid rat. Brian escorted me through the dining hall to the combination storage dressing room behind the stage. He then handed me a Chucky's body, a gray fake fur costume that smelled of sweat. And even though I knew I would be wearing my fiber brown polyester uniform underneath, I imagined how sweaty I soon would be. Putting Chucky's stiff head over my own, I began to breathe the essence of Chuck E. Cheese. A combination of stale pizza, sweat from my coworkers, and a kind of old sugar smell from the sticky-fingered kids who wanted to hug Chucky. The bulk of Chucky's head was on top of my head. I had no peripheral vision and could only peer out through a 5-inch oval screened opening at what would have been Chucky's neck. Brian had to lead me out of the back room while I concentrated on not tripping over my own tail. Did I mention the stench? The more I breathed in, the more I moistened the inside of that rat head, enhancing that stale pizza and old candy smell. Chucky didn't talk, so I felt even more awkward interacting with the children, and his permanent smile meant all I could really do was wave. Every now and again, a child would approach me from my blind spot, pretty much anywhere not directly in front of me, and grab hold of my leg in what I could only imagine was a hug. I'd try to move my head, which entailed twisting and bending my body at the waist and rotating my shoulders so I could see and pat the child on his or her head. The worst part, aside from the odor, was the pack of 13-year-old boys pulling at my tail. It was like they were trying to provoke me, as if they didn't understand that I couldn't feel the tug on my tail. I turned towards them and shook my finger and my head to convey the word, no.